Amen. I can say amen to what we heard this morning already. What a blessing. As Arlen talked about, having the fear of God, where it starts, with the fear of God in our lives. And here Nate shared, put this on, make this a part of who you are. Not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word of God by faith. We walk today. Well, I just want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to gather here and worship together with you all, singing songs, just spending time praying in the prayer room this morning. It's a blessing. I just praise God for each and every one of you here this morning. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God that we're in here worshiping in truth and spirit. Just praise God that He got a hold of the hearts that were once wicked. You know, we're in the gutter, we're in the pit, in the miry clay. And God, He's an awesome God. That's His heart. He's into taking hearts and washing them and cleansing them, making them free. So praise the Lord for that. That's what we were created for, to bring Him honor and glory. Let's never forget. Just singing praises unto Him this morning, just lifting Him up and exalting Him. So praise the Lord. So yesterday, just something here I want to share you. As we were reminded again, there was a funeral here yesterday, and Ruthie's mom laid in this casket. Something that every one of us are going to face someday, unless Jesus returns first. There's no escaping that. We're all going to die and be buried if the Lord don't return first. Yeah, I was just reminded over and over many times this past year and a half with my mom and Mart and just many, many close ones that died here. And as pondering that, actually, I just talked to Amish minister there when my Uncle Mark died, Swartz. As I walked by and just said, well, one thing in life is for sure is death. I said, and one of the days it's going to be me or you. I was just talking to this minister, Amish minister, and he goes, yeah, that's true. He said, but that's not a bad thing. Death is actually a good thing. And we agreed, if you're ready to die, ready to meet the Lord, death is a good thing. Only way to cross the Jordan River is to die. And that's spiritually as well. We need to die to ourselves so we can be prepared to die, cross the Jordan River, be reconciled with God, and be forevermore. Praise the Lord for that. As I shared, and I think Nate shared that people that have the love of money, thank you, Ethan, that have the love of money in this life, and men and women in this life are gathering up millions and billions of dollars, and they say it gives them power, money. And which Nate shared about that, it doesn't give them power. It's going to be held against them on Judgment Day, how they spend, how they handle their money. So let's prepare to die. So when it comes to that day, all we have to do is die. Let's pray. And I have a few things that the Lord laid in my heart to share. Father in heaven, as we do bow here this morning, Lord, I just thank you. Taking our hearts, it says there in Ezekiel, that stony heart, giving us a heart of flesh, giving us a heart that desires to worship you and praise you. Father, as Nate shared, we know that the deception that Satan comes and destroys many, and he already did destroy many, and he's out about kill and destroy. But Jesus, you are to give life. Help us as we walk through, Lord, that we can grab your hand and you lead us through. We know, Father, that you are for us, not against us. So, Lord, we just pray that you just bless us today, Lord, as I just share here a few words. You anoint these words, Lord, and just give me words to share, Lord, that's edifying, encouraging, and just in your will. So I just commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I did share a few thoughts of this here just not too long ago in Concord. I shared actually the first verse here. So let's turn to Isaiah 43. This is for the children of God here. This is encouragement for us just to, again, to just be reminded. What Nate shared there is good. And my message is, I didn't really write down a title to this. I'll give them one here yet. But it's a message how God longs to dwell with us. It's His heart and desire to dwell within every one of us. And that won't be possible unless what Nate shared here, you know, if we have that true truth, the righteousness of God, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that true peace, faith, being delivered from our old sinful past, our life of the devilish life that we live, and putting on the Holy Spirit. Nate shared that, and I was just blessed with that. It won't happen. The Holy Spirit will not dwell. I mean, the Jesus of God will not dwell within us. So I just want to read these first seven verses here. Just want to share a message how God longs to dwell, to walk, to lead every one of us that's in here. If we're a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, you're gonna miss out somewhat on some of the things I want to share here. Plus, if you're not a child of God, the Spirit of God can't dwell in you. So it'll be encouraging you as well as we go through. If you're in here and you're not born again, cleanse your heart, purify yourself, that the Lord Jesus can abide, can make abode within you as well. Okay, let's read the first seven verses. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall that flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wert precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee, therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thee from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yeah, I have made him. As I read through here, just I'm going to use some verses where God, we see the verses that the God, how He longs to set us free, how He longs to see us walk in victory, how He longs to dwell. So just like Nate shared, I won't be able to share all the verses that pertain to these. So I just picked some that I'm familiar with and go on from there. But the very first verse, it says, But now saith the Lord that created thee. He's talking to Israel. O Jacob, be that formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And as I read that, it blesses me that as He tells Israel there that thou art mine. And that's the same way to us today. We are His if we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's His desire, that we be as one. Jesus says, I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. That's what He wants with us in Him. The same way. In John 10, I'm going to be reading some verses. And actually, that's what I'm going to be speaking on. It says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple with Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, if you believe not the work that I do in my Father's name, thou bearest witness of me. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then we see the Jews took up the stones again to stone Him. So as we see this, we hear, according to the word of God, no one will be able to separate us from Him. If we are in Him, and if the Lord is in us, if we are one with Him as He's with the Father. And we know this, no one will be able to separate us from Him. As Satan went to Job with God's permission, we see that. As he went and he asked God, give me the permission just to tempt Job. See if I can turn his heart away from you. And we know that Satan was not able to deliver Job. He was not able to turn Job's heart because Job walked with God. And that's the same way with us. If we walk with God, no one will be able to deceive us as a deception. We won't be deceived. We won't let deception come. We will not be led astray. And we will not hear those words on the last day, "Depart from me, you works of iniquity." We can walk with God as Job did. And we can go through the scriptures and name many others that walked with God. Job was not to be moved because Job believed in God. And no matter what challenges that me and you go through, if we keep our hearts turned toward God, we will not be moved. Honest hearts needed. Honest hearts. You can deceive men. You can deceive every one of us in here. I can deceive every one of you in here today, but I cannot deceive God. On Judgment Day, it's just like, I read this track a while back. This track on when we walk up before judgment, it'll be like a video. A video is going to be playing our whole life. It's going to be for the whole world to see. I can tell you a lot of things. But there on Judgment Day, God got everything recorded. It's everything's being recorded. He's going to hit the play button. As that track shared, He hits the play button. All my life is going to be played back in front of the whole world to see. And no, there's going to be no deception. And to be able to walk with God like that, as Nate shared, it takes faith to trust in the living God. It takes faith just to trust that when you ask, He forgives. It takes faith. As it says there in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." In Hebrews 11:6 it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." And we know that, and Nate shared there, you know, that a lot of people just say, I trust. But by our life, by your actions, is going to speak louder than words. In 1 John 9, you know, Jesus says, if you confess your sins, He says, "I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." That's the heart of God, that we would be made free. And I just wrote, have you ever heard anyone say that you can't know that your sins are forgiven? Maybe it's because they never asked. And as I'm pondering this message here too, I pondered this morning, same thing. Nate is wondering, you know, well, not necessary just for this, Nate says, just not for this congregation. Maybe it's more for outside. But I was saying, well, Nate, no, that was for us as well as anybody, what you shared. And I can say, maybe this is as well. I know most of us in here are children of God, but this is just encouraging how God longs to dwell with each one. But have you ever heard anyone say that your sins, that you can't know that your sins are forgiven? I have many that just recently say that, you know, you can't know, and they're not from here. But then I always just ask the question, have they asked? Then Jesus says, you know, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive us, to give your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says, if you ask, it shall be given. You seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Why did He write down things down in the scriptures? Because He wants us to know. I remember walking the life as I got born again. It seemed like not until I realized that my slate was clean before God, not until I realized that my sins are forgiven is when I could really fellowship with God. And that's the reason. He wants each and every one of us to know, not to doubt, where you stand at in your life. He don't want us to doubt that. Are we washed or are we forgiven or not? I mean, he's got too many verses in here that points to us children. He wants us to know where we stand. This way, we can have that true relationship with him. As we look at these verses, it's God's heart that you're made free from your sins. Why? Why is it that he wants us to know that we're free from our sins so that the Spirit can dwell within us, so that we can worship with him? I mean, we can fellowship with him and we can have that free spirit with him. As it says in one, let me read a few verses here. It talks about the temple, that we are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 3. Know you not, verse 16, know you not that ye are the temple of God? Let the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for they all are his. Whether Paul or Paulus or Cephas or the world or life or death, the things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ. It says, and Paul writes, and ye are Christ and God, and Christ is God's. First Corinthians 6:19-20. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. One more verse here. 2 Corinthians 6. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Paul shared this 3 or 4 times in Corinthians. This is going to be the last one I share on that. But he shared that many times about that we are the temple of the living God. And he says, and I will dwell in, he said this in Isaiah. 16 comes from Isaiah. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and perfecting in the holiness of the fear of God. So just as we see these several verses here, how God longs to dwell within us. And here Paul says, unless you cleanse yourself from all this filthiness, the temple. We will not be the temple. God cannot dwell in a place that's defilement. And you can just ask yourself in your heart, is there any things in your life that's defiling your body? Defiling the temple. Is there things that you're doing in your life that's keeping Christ from feeling comfortable in your life? If it is, I mean, if you're a child of God and you start mingling with things that are questionable, there's not enough room for Christ, for the things of this world and the things of the kingdom of God. There's not enough room for Christ to dwell there. He will flee. If we continue picking up the things of this life that defiles the temple, he can't dwell there. But God wants to dwell with us, within us, with you and me, everyone. But he cannot if you're not cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. God wants to fellowship with us. He longs to walk with us. And when I read those verses, it's a blessing. And as he says there in Ezekiel 36, Verse 23 says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among thy heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am thy Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." This is God talking to Ezekiel here. "For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be cleansed from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you." And there's only one reason he did that, the cleansing from us, so he can dwell within. "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away that stony heart from your flesh, I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, I will be your God." Isn't that encouraging? How he wants to be, as he longs to be our God. He longs to lead us. He longs to guide us. "If God be for us, who can be against us? And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you." The heart of God. That we can be free. It's not the heart that anyone should perish, but all come to repentance. So he says, there in Isaiah, that first verse, "Thou art mine." You are his. If you're cleansed, if you have a pure heart, pure, free from bitterness, and free from the sin, whatever it may be, "Thou art mine." Verse 2, "When thou walkest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Talking about a father and a son. You know, as we have little children, walking close to an edge, walking close to a fire, whatever it may be, we keep a tight hold of their hand so they don't fall over the edge or stumble into the fire. That's the same way with God. He will guide us. He will keep a hold of our hands. As it says there in Psalms there, David said in Psalms 23, "For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lay down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Let me just get on that there. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thy enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we see David's heart here, if you can't quote this as David did, you're missing out. If you don't have this peace that David had this assurance. He said, "The Lord is he maketh me lay down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Beautiful place to be. If you're not there, you can be. And if you're not there, you need to be. You want to pass over Jordan River someday, you're going to have to be cleansed and prepared to meet the Lord. And same as Paul in Timothy 2 there. Paul he spent most of his time in prison, and I know I often talk about this verse as well. But he was sitting in prison, and he knew that what was coming in his life. He knew he was going to die. And as Paul said there, he began to preach there. He said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." He was telling them, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away from their ears the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make sure the proof of the ministry. Actually, the next three verses is what I wanted to read. Because Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of my departure is at hand." How can Paul say that? How can Paul have that true peace? He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept my course. I have kept the faith." That's why. Paul walked with God. God dwelt within him. He had the Holy Spirit within him. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge shall give me on that day. And not only to me, but unto all those that love his appearing." So we see that as Paul had a... He knew where he stood with God, and he had this true confidence as he walked. And here he was. Paul probably didn't know he was going to have his head taken off, but he knew he was going to die. That was okay with Paul. Encouragement is, no matter what we may go through, let's stay connected to Lord Jesus Christ. And He promises to carry us through. So many promises in here that as children of God, for the children of God. And that is my heart, just to remind us again some of the promises and the longing that God has for His children. In Matthew 10, this disciple is not above his master, nor is a servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he is a master, and the servant as a Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household? He says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear that preach upon the housetops." He says, "And fear them which are able to kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body into hell. Fear not them which are kill the body." And that's what David and Paul, they feared not those that were able to kill the body, but they had the fear of God. On Isaiah 43, the verses 3 and 4 there, I don't know if I fully understand those two verses there. It says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou had been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life." And as I ponder that, I don't know how many people died here so he could deliver Egypt. How many people here died so that Egypt could be brought free from their bondage and set on the path of righteousness? Thousands. Thousands of Egyptians died here for the children of Israel, for me and you as well. As I look for the children of Israel here, that was for us as well. There's thousands that died that God allowed to happen so they could be set free. Then God gave His only begotten Son, so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could sit around the throne with Jesus Christ, the Father, forever and ever, and fellowship and praise with Him and glorify His name forever and ever. We owe our life to Him. We owe all of our life to the Father. Because He gave everything He had for us. We should definitely give everything we have for Him. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." just want to read a few verses here on the promises that of the Word of God. You don't have to turn to them here. I'll go. I was going to write them down, but I didn't take time to write them down. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, where God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Walk in them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And to good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Romans 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die. Some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He did all that longing that we could walk together. In 1 John, a few verses. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, I want to read 2 and 3. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we are in him, when we keep his words. Hebrews 1. God at sundry times, in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom also he made the worlds, whom, being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of him power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high. Okay, I'm going to read one more, then I'll go on. I wrote down a bunch of those. So just a bunch of those verses that pertaineth to God's mercy toward us. Isaiah 1. And when he spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yeah, when ye made many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Then he says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So there are many, many of those verses I could go on yet, but let's just go Isaiah verses Isaiah 30, 43 there, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and I will gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth." And he says, "Fear not, I am with thee." Let me read here Luke 12, a few verses here, then I have a few thoughts. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the things should be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down at meat, and he will come forth and serve them. And he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them doing. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered the house to be broken into. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you knoweth." And if someone in here at the age of accountability and have never got right with God, you're right, there should be a fear in your life. Here it says, "Fear not," in verse 5. But there's a right fear, as we heard Alan share. There's a right fear we should have in our heart. If we're not ready to meet God, there should be a fear. But if we have been cleansed, we don't need to fear the coming of the Lord. Why do I say that? Because God longs to dwell with you, and he can't, because your body is defiled from sin. If you're not ready, if your heart's never been cleansed, if your heart's never been... if you never had operation on your heart. But it don't have to be that way. He's calling for you. "It's not the will of God that any should perish, but all come to repentance." All come to repentance. We don't have to live in doubt. We don't have to live in fear. It's just as simple as just repenting from our sins. Getting right with God. Just tell Jesus you're sorry and turn away. Repentance is turning away from your sins, and you can be set free. You can have that free heart. You don't have to fear. Fear not, as verse 5 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." You can have that confidence. You can have that assurance that he walks with you every day. We don't go by feelings. We go by the Word of God, and the Word of God says, "Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened." 1 John 9 says, "If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you." So, just by the Word of God, we can walk by faith by the Word of God. We don't have to fear. As it was said yesterday here, that God longs for all of us someday to be together in heaven. He longs that every one of us be reconciled. That was the whole heart of God, to come to die so that we all could be reconciled back to the Father. And that's exciting. If God be for us, who will be against us? And we know that answer. No one. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't fear. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you into myself, that where I am, there you also may be. And whether I know you, you know, and you know the way." And Thomas said unto them, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you have known him, you have seen him. So as Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You don't need to fear. I go prepare a place for you. I will come again to receive you to my Father's house. Okay, the last verse there in Isaiah there. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yeah, I have made him. And as I ponder that, it's a beautiful verse. He made each and every one of us for his glory. There's no other reason he made you and me was that we would bring him glory. That's the only reason. In Ezekiel, there's some verses in Ezekiel that shares on some of those thoughts there. Ezekiel 34. I'll just read a few verses here. Actually, there's a few. And as for you, O my flock, he's talking to Israel here. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it the small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunken the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for the flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they have drink that which have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and there shall be no more prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up for a shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David is a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will make them with a covenant of peace. I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them the places around about my hill a blessing. I will cause the showers to come down to the season, and there shall be the shower of blessings. And be the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they know, they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken down the bands of their yoke, and deliver them out of the hands of those who serve themselves of them. And they shall be no more a prey to the heathen. Neither shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. I am your God, saith the Lord God. Therefore, saith unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes. He says, I do not this for your sakes, what he just did there, what he just said, how I'm going to deliver you out of the hands of the enemy, and set you free. You shall be free. He said, I didn't do this for your sake, saith the Lord God. I did this for my sake, O house of Israel. But for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have spoken in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Not for your sakes I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. And as I read these verses, it just shows us again, we are not our own. We are God's. He says, you are mine, and we are his. Okay, a few more verses. I'll finish up here. But just remember that, as he said, I didn't do this for your sake. He didn't deliver us from the bondage of sin. He didn't create us for our sake, but for his sake, for his glory. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. This is in Timothy. Which is in thee by putting on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of thy testimony of our Lord, nor of this prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with his holy calling. God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, Paul said. He says, for these which I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me that which I have committed to him against that day. So as we see these verses that we read here, that it was his glory that he created each and every one of us. Never forget that. So just the last verses I want to read here is in 2 Philippians 2, 1-11. But that we know the Word of God. There are many other words that I could have used, many other verses I could have used just to assure us, to encourage us on the promises of God, the promises that He will dwell and long abide, abode. He'll make our system about making His bold within us forever. Many of those verses I could have probably used yet, but it would have been too lengthy. But so just to close here in 2 Philippians 2, there's 10 verses. Let's just turn to there and we'll take my seat. Philippians 2, verse 1 to 11. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, on things in heaven, things on earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the glory of God the Father. There will be no unbelievers. There will be no unbelievers in hell. They're all going to be believers at that time when they stand before God and their judgment is given. They're going to believe, but it's too late. It says that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So just a few verses here just to encourage us on that as long as we walk according to the Word of God, as Nate said, honest hearts needed. When we keep an honest heart before God, He says, I'll never leave thee or never forsake thee. He will abide within us. Even though Satan comes at times, he's a liar, and he's a killer. He's trying to rob the peace. But let's remember that God longs to dwell. He's not easily pushed out. Only way that God pushed out if we push him out. Us. It's up to us. Satan cannot. Satan has no power to do that. But we men ourselves just buckle underneath the pressures of this life and give in to the powers of Satan and walk away from God. But if he be for us, who can be against us? God bless you.